I tell everybody we got Daniel Boone goes to our church.
Really?
I said, yeah, Daniel Boone. He ain't dead. He's still alive. Amen. It is good to be home, be with you this morning. And I just want to begin a new series today, something the Lord's been dealing with me about fear. And I want to entitle it, What Fear Looks Like. And fear is a part of our life, our emotions. Because we're human, we have feelings. But fear, as the Bible teaches us, God said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. We all know those scriptures. But fear is something very real to our lives that we have to deal with. Everybody has different ways of dealing with it. And fear is that tool of the enemy that can come on you at any time. We try to gird ourselves and build ourselves to say, well, we can handle pretty much all things, but the Bible teaches us that we have to learn to lean on God every day. Amen? That's the reason it talks so much about pride. You know, pride thinks, well, I don't need anybody, but God sees the whole picture. There's not a day goes by that we don't need God to help us in some way. Well, it's amazing when you begin to study the Bible, the characters that wrote the Bible were people just like you and me. Sometimes we tend to make them sort of like super people, but they weren't. They were just people like you and me. And God pinned down times and seasons in their lives when they were strong and also when they were weak. David is one I want to talk about, who I feel like is probably one of the greatest kings that there ever was. God made an alluded to him that he was a man after his own heart. He was a warrior. He was powerful. He was strategic. This man would be like five-star general today. I mean, he was just the epitome of what leadership was, but yet he had weakness in his life, and he had times when he feared. And so I want to read this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and then we're going to take our text out of chapter 20. A lot of us are familiar with the life of David. How at the age of 15, God had anointed him to be the king. And at 15, he destroyed the giant. Let me just read it to you. Chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go more home to his father's house. Now let me just stop right there. David was 15 years old. He killed a mighty giant, which was a leader of the other world, the other side of the town, the other army. And you know the story how he killed him with a rock and a slingshot. Well, when he did that, at just 15 years old, he became a world legend. He became a world household name because you got to understand, Goliath was one of the mightiest leaders of the enemy's camp. And he had come to taunt God's people. And you know the story. David had been on the side in the sheep, worshiping God and praising God and had a relationship with God. And so when he heard these things, he couldn't take it anymore, and he brought him down. So you know the story. As he brought him down, things just begin to change. As you read on, let me just read a couple more scriptures here. Go to verse 5. And David went out wheresoever Saul sent him and behaved himself seemingly. Now you got to understand what happened was that Saul began to get jealous of David because David's fame, and you got to understand, David wasn't seeking any fame, but everywhere he went, they were recognizing. And it says here that, in other words, anywhere Saul would send him, he went with all his heart and gave it all of his might. Little did he know there were times Saul really deep down hated David. You got to understand that the kings of that day were so insecure Anybody that got any attention more than them, it drove them crazy. David, let me read to you. Go on down to verse 6. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines and joy and the instruments of music. And the women answered one day as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Go on down to verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Now that's strong right there. Saul, now go to chapter 20. So what's happening here? David was doing just what he thought was right. He's killed the giant. He cut the head of the giant off, carried him to his camp, and then carried him to the priest. But David was a hero. But Saul couldn't take it. So Saul said, I'm going to take David in. He's going to become one of my people. You're going to become one of my family. He even offered him to marry one of his daughters, but he's only 15 years old. And he said, I'm not worthy to marry into the king's house. And so he refused that. But he fell in love. Him and his son Jonathan became true best friends for life. And then later on, he would marry one of his daughters named Michael. And they just loved him. Well, Saul, you got to understand, here's Saul. His son's in love with David. His daughter's in love with David. The whole city's in love with David. Everywhere David goes, he can do no wrong. And he's so jealous. So he brings him in. They have meals. So one of the things that the kings did back then, they would have a meal. And everybody was required to be at the meal. But here's what happened. David's life became at jeopardy because Saul told his son Jonathan, I'm going to have his life. Well, because Jonathan loved David, he told David. Said, I don't know what's all going on, but my father's out to kill you and destroy you. Now, you got to understand. Here's a man that stood before a giant and killed him. No fear. Here's a man that would go into battles. See, one of the things that Saul would try to do to kill him, he would send him on impossible missions. He would send him on impossible missions knowing that he would get killed. But here he'd come back every time. He was just a warrior. But one particular occasion, let me read this to you, chapter 20. Verse 24 through 30. Okay. So verse 24 says, so David hid himself in the field. I'm in chapter 20. And the new moon was come, and the king sat down to eat meat. So David's scared of it. What are you scared of today? We as men, you know, we're not scared of anything as far as you know it, but we do have fears. So David is now hiding himself, and so Saul's having these big suppers, and he's looking around the table, and David's not there. So look at this. All right. Verse 25, and the king sat upon his seat, and others times even upon the seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by the Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for thought something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, when it was second day of the month, that David's place was empty. Go on down to verse 29. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city. My brother, he hath commanded me to be there. Now if I have found favor in thy sight, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. So what's going on right here? Jonathan's making excuses for him. Well, he's not here because he's out taking care of business. He's not here but this time Saul had had it. This time Saul was not playing games anymore with David. And look what he said in verse 30. And Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? Now what's he saying here? You have chosen my own son and daughter, have chosen him over your own family. And he says, as you read and study in there, he says, I am going to destroy him. I'm going to kill him from this day forward. So what happens? David was brought into the king's house so the king could control him. He was offered daughter's marriage and all this type stuff, but he wanted to control him. But when David would not come and eat with him, he knew he didn't have control over him. So it made him furious. And so Saul wants to kill David. Do you know at this beginning of time, he attempted to kill David 21 times. Can you imagine that? He attempted to kill him 21 times. He would send him in impossible missions, but people loved David. And every time something would go on, Jonathan or his sister, Michael would tell him what was going on. So Saul explodes. So Jonathan warns David that Dad, Saul, is going to kill you. Now, I don't know what happened to him at this time. He's like you and me. We're strong. But I love what the Word says. When I'm weak, then I'm made strong. Because how many of you know we're not strong all the time? There are things we face that we cannot face them without God. And David is 22 years old now. It's been 7 years since he killed that giant. And you remember when he killed the giant, he vowed a lot of things to God. He vowed to live for God. He vowed to do what God wanted him to do. He vowed to be the king. Whatever it takes, God, that's what I'm going to be. But along the journey, he had to deal with some internal fears. My point in this, as we begin this message, this series, and I won't get done with it today, but there's a lot of things that we say we're going to do for God. There's a lot of things we declare for God. Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be faithful. I'm never going to do this, or I'm not going to do that. And we're speaking that out of good intentions. But there's an enemy out there whose main job is, first of all, to get you distracted, to get you detoured, and to dethrone you from where God has for you. Every one of us are God's children. Every one of us are an heir to the throne of God. Every one of us are kings and queens in the kingdom of God. But every one of us have failures. David had two failures in his life. One in his 50s. You know the story. Everybody talks about that one with Queen, when he saw his neighbor's wife, and you know all the story, I'm not going to get into that, but that was in his 50s. But now he's in his 20s, and he has another failure. And the failure is fear. The failure is fear. He is abandoned. So what happens when David hears all this? He leaves everybody. So he's abandoned. The next thing is, he's angry. Why? Why does he want to do this to me? All I've tried to do is protect him and honor him. And that's what David was doing. He was an armor bearer for Saul. But now Saul's turned against him. And the declaration of the king, sort of like if Trump was to get up there and say he's going to kill one of us, fear would come to our lives because we're going to say, how's he going to do that? That's the same thing with David. Saul, the leader, the king, said, I'm going to kill him. He's caused nothing but heartache to my family. And that's not true. He was always good to his family. But you see, when warfare begins to come against you, it comes like a roar. So what does fear look like? Number one I want to talk about this morning is fear looks like panic. Here's a man who wrote hymns, he wrote psalms, He worshiped God. He knew he had a relationship with God. God anointed him. He had everything right. But he was a human. God lets us see in the Word of God, though he calls us to be certain things for him, we are still human and we still have faults. Now, what fear looks like is panic. David panicked. And I want to give you this point right here. It's amazing how much Bible we know, how much prayer we do, how close we say we are to God, that when trouble comes, it's like we drop all that and say, oh God, how am I going to figure this out? Amen? Is anybody like that? We say, oh God, how am I going to figure this out? We forget all about those things that God shall supply all our needs. God's going to give us wisdom. God's going to take care of us. He's going to encamp angels about us to protect us. We say all these things when everything is going good. But when the pressure comes on, sort of like Peter, you remember his story? How he told everybody, I'm never going to deny God. I'm never going to deny him. He's God. He's Jesus, the Son of God. I'm never going to do it. And what happened when fear came on him? He said, I don't know it. I want to tell you, fear is very real in our lives. And the first thing fear looks like is panic. At this moment, David begins to abandon everything. It's amazing when we struggle that we get caught off guard. It's amazing when we struggle that we almost are intimidated by the fact that I never thought this could happen to me. But I want you to understand this very clear. There is an enemy out there whose main goal in life is to cause your life havoc. His main goal in life is to destroy everything you got and all your family and everything you've been training. But because of God, we are more than conquerors. Amen? God is on our side. He's our warrior. But we are in a warfare. This world is like it is today, not because of politicians. This world is in a warfare because of good and evil. And from the beginning of time, evil has tried to prevail. Don't you know that the enemy heard that this was going to be the next king? Don't you know the enemy heard and feared him? Because every battle David went into, he won. But now this battle has overwhelmed him. And one of the first things that panic tells you to do, and you got to get this. One of the first things that panic tells you to do is abandon your morals, abandon your standards, abandon what you know, and just do what you think. Now that's true. Whether you admit it or not, that, you know, it's like when you're going through everything good and you don't need to believe God for anything because everything is good. You got your health, you got your wealth, you got everything. We really don't trust God that much during that time. But when the times of warfare come and we have to trust God, it's in those times that your morals and your standards are going to be challenged. Because the first thing that happens to us in conflict, get this right here, the first thing that happens to us in conflict is we think that we got to figure this out. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? And fear begins to grip your life and says, man, what are you going to do? Everything's coming against you. It's too big for you. There's no way in the world that you're going to handle all this. And if we're not careful, we will be shaken. So the Bible tells us what's the best thing to do whenever fear is coming on you and trying to get you to abandon your morals and your standards. When you've done all you can do to stand, what does the Bible say? Run. Is that what it says? When you've done all you can do to stand, run. What does it say? Are y'all awake this morning? I know we don't have many people here, so help me out now. Y'all working me to death up here this morning. When When you've done all you can do to stand, stand. Amen? Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. So what's the next thing David does? He starts running. He runs to a place called Nob. He flees. Why is he fleeing? Because he's scared. Now this time in Bible history, I'm going to cover this and then I'm going to let you go. This time in Bible history, you remember Jerusalem was not yet a part of Israel at that time because they had the Ark of the Covenant and it was going from different places, and Amalek was the high priest. And the Ark of the Covenant had stopped at a certain place in Nob, and Amalek the high priest was there. And so David runs to the high priest. But here's the problem. The first thing fear will cause you to do is panic. And the second thing fear will cause you to do is lie. You begin to lie about yourself. You begin to lie about your circumstances. And look what happens here. So David runs to Amalek. And Amalek is used to seeing David with thousands of warriors with him. He's used to seeing David with just warriors everywhere. And you would hear David before you've seen David. You know what I'm saying? So now David walks up, 22-year-old boy, and he looks around, and all of a sudden, the high priest, Amalek, he begins to get a little fearful because he's wondering what's going on. And so he says, David, why are you alone? Now David's alone because he's abandoned everything. David hadn't done anything wrong. David had no reason to run. David was commanded of God to stand. But he chose to run. And he's by himself. I want to tell you this, and I want you to get this. If you don't get anything else, it's a dreadful thing to walk out of the anointing of God. It's a terrible thing to take matters in your own hands. Fear will cause you to panic. And fear will tell you take matters in your own hands. So that's what David was doing. And David's before the high priest. And here's what fear looks like. He begins to lie to him. Let me give you this, a couple things here and then we'll go. David begins to lie to the high priest. You see what's going on here? His morals and his standards. We're talking about David. We're talking about the worshiper. We're talking about the one who wrote most of this book of Psalms. But yet there were times in his life when he was so fearful. So David begins to lie to him and he says, I am on a mission, a secret mission. And nobody knows what's going on. So he's lying to the high priest. He's lying to the one that represents God. He's lying to the one who he knows is God in the presence there. Because the tabernacle is right here. And so he begins to lie to him. He's in the presence of the Ten Commandments, the tabernacle. And he's afraid. And he starts telling Abimelech, I am on a secret mission. No one is to know of this mission. Men are coming. Ain't nobody coming. Men are coming, but they're in a secret place. And here's what I'm going to stop with. This lie will eventually take the life of Abimelech and his family. That's so sad. We'll talk about that next time. When you begin to walk out from God, and you begin to do your own thing, and you begin to convince yourself that you're going to live in panic, and you're going to start lying, I want to tell you, that's serious ground. I want you to come back next week if you can, because I want you to see what happens here. But Abimelech is there, and him and his whole family will eventually get destroyed because of David's lie. I want to ask you to stand to your feet. What does fear look like? It looks like panic. And it looks like lies, taking life in your own hands. God, help us this day. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit today. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that gives us a second chance. Lord, we can't throw stones at David because we have all fallen in that same rut sometime or another. We've all had times in our life, God, when we were weak in our faith and we were not strong like we should be. But there always have been times in our life, God, that we've taken things in our own hands and all it does is cause pain and confusion to other people. Lord, let us look at this story with an open heart. And let us really, really begin to see what fear looks like. And God, when fear comes against us to conquer us or beat us down, I pray, God, we'll rise up against fear with faith in God Almighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.